The JX starts today with a debrief where JPR reporters discuss the stories they've been covering this week, including an innovative drug treatment facility and the closure of a mysterious New Age store in Ashland. I'm News Director Eric Newman.
I'm Roman Battaglia, Science, Environment, and Politics reporter.
And I'm Justin Higginbottom, Public Safety and Healthcare reporter.
Justin, we're going to start with you. You recently reported on a unique program in Medford that's aimed at helping pregnant mothers who are dealing with substance abuse. It's called the Oasis Center of the Rogue Valley. What do they do, and what is unique about this program?
Yeah, so Oasis is a clinic that specializes in treating parents and those that are expecting for substance use disorders. So that means those that are struggling with addiction while pregnant, or maybe if they've just had a child. It's important because opioid-related overdoses are now a leading cause of death for those that are pregnant and those that have recently given birth. That's pretty incredible. I didn't know that before I started reporting on this story. And the center is unique for a couple reasons. First, there's just not a lot of places that serve this population. There can be a shortage of options for treatment in general, but those places that take mothers and have space for their children they're really few and far between. And another reason why they're unique is that they don't only provide treatment for addiction. They provide help with legal trouble, with food insecurity, with emergency housing. There's a preschool there. So they really try to cover all these different areas because you can imagine if one of these fails, like if you're homeless, then that can add a lot of stress in an already pretty stressful situation, and it can make getting clean harder. Although providing these services is harder than it sounds, and it's, you know, integrated care, wraparound services, or whatever you want to call it, those are sort of buzzwords in medical care right now. But in practice, the staff at Oasis said our system isn't really set up for it. For example, there's differences in treating behavioral health compared to medical treatment, from billing to charting, what insurance will cover and what it won't. So Oasis bills insurance what it can, and then it relies off grants to cover everything that they can't bill for. Another thing that makes Oasis unique is that they offer long-term care. It's not like someone gets off drugs, has their baby, and then they're done. Their program is set up to work with parents for years. Oasis has been open for over 5 years, but the medical director told me she's worked with the same person for over a decade before Oasis opened. She's basically watched their children grow up. And having this long-term care is also really important for someone trying to get sober because addiction isn't a short-term disease. It stays with you.
Okay. So expecting mothers are an especially vulnerable group. What kind of obstacles are there for them getting treatment?
First is just access, just having a place to go. Oasis works with homeless mothers a lot of the time. And in those situations, someone might not even realize they're pregnant until they're pretty far along. And then they don't have a lot of time to find somewhere to go or to get clean. So they're in this really important race. Also, there's just a huge stigma around using drugs while pregnant. Patients think that they're going to be judged. They think they'll face legal trouble. They might think their child will be taken away if doctors realize they've been using while pregnant. The whole child protective service policy is really a black box for a lot of people. Hmm. But the staff at Oasis told me that things have really changed, at least in Oregon. Staff there explained that it's not the case that if you show up at the hospital and doctors find out you've been using, then police swoop in and take your baby. It doesn't work like that. They actually said there's been no case where a parent who has entered treatment and who has wanted to keep their child has lost custody. And that part is really important because for those that want to keep and raise their child, losing their baby could mean losing everything for them, any sort of reason for why they should become sober. You can imagine that could make a mother just spiral.
Hmm. So you spoke with current and former patients at Oasis. What did they tell you that it was like struggling with drug use while they were pregnant?
One thing that they got across to me is just how powerful fentanyl is. It's really been a game changer. It totally rewires your brain. It's worse than heroin. And when you're on it, you're not thinking about anything else. It can even override, you know, those built-in instincts that mothers have to protect their pregnancy. Here's one current patient at Oasis I spoke with about that.
You want so desperately to quit. You want your baby to come out healthy and not having to go through the withdrawals and the detox. But addiction is so cunning and it wraps a hold of you, and no matter how bad you want to quit, it just won't let you.
And that was a really common theme that I heard from a few people there, like one mother who was trying to get high basically right before they went into the hospital.
Some pretty intense stories. But you came across a lot of stories of success. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it can seem very depressing. You know, fentanyl use is already this epidemic, but then throw in its impact on mothers and their children, and it gets pretty dark. But I did come away from this clinic optimistic that it even existed. I spoke with a number of people there where their program worked for them. Sometimes it took a while, but, you know, that's how it goes. There was one woman who was addicted to fentanyl, used through her pregnancy, had very little hope, and someone at Oasis, though, was there at her hospital bed after she gave birth and convinced her to get into treatment. And she's been sober for over 2 years now, and she was actually hired by Oasis to work with other mothers. The staff at Oasis, there's a fair number of people there who have life experience in this issue, and they're really invaluable peer support.
I love being able to see somebody come in who is like a spit image of me, somebody that had no hope and no love for themselves, to just bloom into this wonderful, beautiful person.
And I also just want to note that the work they do is really important because researchers find that a child who has a parent using drugs is at a much higher risk of also struggling with addiction. So saving a parent can really sort of break this cycle of substance abuse.
Okay, thanks a lot. We're going to follow up on one other story, at least that you worked on this week. You also had an update about a story in Grants Pass that dates back to 2021 originally. That's the case of two educators who started a program called, or a campaign called iResolve, which was critical of district policies aimed at transgender students. Why is this story now back in the news?
So those educators had sued the district claiming their First Amendment rights to free speech were violated. But that case was dismissed in a district court. Then they appealed that decision, and the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals heard oral arguments this week from both sides. Mm-hmm. So just some background. They were fired from their school after they launched this social media campaign that criticized district policies over things like bathroom access and pronoun use for transgender students. For example, they wanted parents to approve any change in pronouns that students wanted. And that social media campaign was criticized by some as transphobic. The educators were fired eventually for violating district policies. Those policies included causing a disruption and using school resources in that campaign. The educators were eventually rehired after a new school board majority reinstated them. And during this period, the school district received around 100 complaints about those educators. Although they were rehired, this case was brought against the school district to really stop anything like this from happening in the future. And it's been taken up by a free speech law firm.
Okay, so this is being now heard in federal appeals court. Did they have any kind of response to these recent arguments about free speech violations, or did they make any kind of a decision?
Not a decision yet, so we'll probably have to wait some months to hear a decision about whether or not this case will be taken up. But during the questioning, the judges, from my understanding, were basically trying to figure out whether the educators' firing was due to them actually breaking district policies or if it was more about the content of their speech that caused their firing. And they questioned the attorney representing the school district about whether teachers are able to be involved in politics outside of the classroom. And if they're able to be involved in controversial politics outside of the classroom. We live in a pretty divided time, so chances are, whatever your political beliefs, it's going to be controversial to someone. And the district has said it wasn't exactly the teacher's message that got them fired. It was more about the effect of that message. So that campaign not only resulted in those complaints that I messaged to the school, but the school district's attorney, they questioned basically whether a transgender student would be able to properly learn if they were in one of those educators' classrooms and didn't feel comfortable.
Okay. Well, we'll continue to follow this story. In the meantime, Roman, we're going to turn to you for an update about a secretive spiritual group and their New Age store in downtown Ashland. Something that many people have been curious about, I think. So we found out this week that the store might be closing. What's going on with the closure of the store, The Haven?
Yeah, so we first learned about this on a local Facebook group. Sometimes they can be helpful for news. We'll look on there when people are posting about stuff that's happening locally, and we kind of need to verify what was actually being said there. Someone had mentioned that a for lease sign was posted in front of this store on Monday. It's on Main Street. You probably have noticed it. It's near the Varsity Theater. It's this store called The Haven with a lot of different stuff in front of it. So I drove over there. I checked it out, took some photos. Sadly, the store was closed, so I couldn't ask them about it. But I called up the owner of the building, and the owner, Alan Connolly, confirmed that the space has been put up for lease and the current tenants are going to be moving out by the end of the month.
So what is this group?
Yeah, so this it really centers around this couple called they go by the name Twin Ray. It's comprised of two people, Ashka Sananda and Miananda Maitreya Shakina. Complicated names. But they're two people who claim to be in this sort of divine union that's reunited throughout multiple lifetimes. They essentially claim to be one being in two separate bodies. And they've explained this in online interviews I've watched. It's kind of a interesting concept. I hadn't heard about it before. I've heard about them. But their spiritual practices appear to be this mix of different New Age and religious teachings, you know, including Tibetan Buddhism, Christianity, and concepts like chakras. So there's this interview from their Facebook page. You can hear Akasha Sananda describing, you know, why they came to Ashland in the first place. So here he's explaining that there's this prophecy that Ashland is this place where 1,000 beings would reach what he calls rainbow body status. And I'll let him explain what that means.
The rainbow body is where there's a phenomenology where one cultivates, you know, alchemically, the amount of light where the body actually turns into a rainbow where one can actually ascend the physical instruments.
So this just kind of gives you a hint of their speaking style. It includes a lot of spiritual buzzwords. We've watched a lot of their videos in the newsroom, and they're very hard to follow sometimes. But they kind of take a bunch of different religious practices and mix them together into their own thing. This concept of rainbow bodies, for example, is actually a thing in Tibetan Buddhism from what I've seen. So Akasha Sananda has been involved in the New Age movement for a while. He's originally Australian. He was born Harley Forrester. And he's kind of worked with other spiritual leaders in the past and run various courses on spiritual growth. And then that's until he met Miananda in 2017.
Which is the other half of Twin Ray. So what's her story?
Yeah, so Miananda Shakina was born as Mia Therese DeShule, and she was actually an actress. She performed in a few minor roles in movies and TV shows in the late 2000s. I think she was in one episode of Burn Notice and other shows. So her supposed transformation into Shakina happened when she alleges she caught meningitis on a Spirit Airlines flight in 2010. And from a past article they published on the website Medium, she says that she was in a coma for 6 days and six nights, and then woke up on October 10th, 2010. That was when she says her original soul left her body and the soul of Shakina Ma entered her and resurrected her. So, you know, but we know that what she claims here didn't actually happen. That's because she unsuccessfully tried to sue Spirit Airlines for this incident back in 2013. And because of that lawsuit, all of her medical records and hundreds of pages of deposition were made public. She did get really sick. She had meningitis, and it seemed like it was really severe, but the records don't mention her going into a coma. And, you know, in fact, the records say she was already recovering pretty well days before her supposed reawakening from her coma.
Okay, and so just give us a little bit of backstory about their history here in Ashland.
Yeah, so they moved here in 2020. They purchased this 96-acre gated estate, and they've done a lot of work online, virtual interviews, virtual private mentorships. They've also hosted these really expensive retreats. And then in 2022, they opened up this boutique store called The Haven. They sold these massive geodes, really expensive candles, and special stickers they call energy patches, which claim to do anything from relieving inflammation and pain to help you fall asleep faster. A recent story from OPB, some former followers said they spent up to $80,000 on this stuff from Twin Ray.
Wow.
And they've also claimed that the couple has been using psychedelic drugs with their followers.
Okay. So thank you for all that background. So have we heard anything from Twin Ray about the closure of their store?
No, they've actually been very quiet. I mean, they didn't respond to any phone calls or emails. They haven't confirmed anything about the store. One thing we were specific about when we were talking about the store closing, we tried to not make sure we mentioned that it was closing permanently because it could theoretically be moving somewhere else, but they haven't told us anything about it. They've also been very quiet on social media, and they haven't really been seen for a while. I haven't figured out if they're even living in Ashland right now. They lost that gated estate that they previously purchased because they couldn't pay the mortgage. So we'll kind of see if they'll pop up sometime soon, maybe here in Ashland or somewhere else in the world.
Okay. Thanks, Roman. That is going to do it for the debrief this week. Thanks for listening. You can reach the newsroom with comments about our coverage and suggestions for things that we should cover in the future through our news tip line. You can find that on our website at ijpr.org. You can subscribe to this program and many others from JPR at jeffexchange.org or all the other platforms.